BAM Radio Network.
Well, you're letting the kids write the test questions? Now that is radical.
I'll go over there and they'll say, oh, we already figured it out. It's okay. I went and asked so-and-so.
Hi, welcome to The Flip Side, turning learning on its head with John Bergman.
Welcome to another edition of The Flip Side with me, your host, John Bergman. I am actually at a middle school right now in Deerfield, Illinois, and I have just watched an amazing class. And joining me is the amazing teacher of the amazing class, Kirk Humphreys. Kirk, welcome to the show. You know, as I watched your class, what I saw most was the kids were taking ownership for their learning. How did you get that to happen?
The biggest obstacle in which that I've had to overcome is just myself in letting go of the control that I have always had over my kids. And so the more control I let them have is when I truly saw the most amazing things that happened in my classroom. And now, you know, when these kids prepare for a test, they're the ones that make the problems. They're the ones that teach each other. They worry about, you know, what they need to worry about, and they work on the problems that they need to work on. So when I walk around, I want to take myself out of the situation and give them complete control on what they do within the class and the pace they go.
Now, wait a second. You're giving kids control. You're letting the kids write the test questions? Now that is radical. If I was a kid, I'd say, like, awesome, I get to write the easy test questions. That's what I'd do, maybe, right? Is that what's happening?
You would think so. The first time I gave my kids the chance to prove understanding to me, they thought it was the easy way out. They really did. They're like, oh, yes, we don't have to take one of Humphrey's tests again. But when I started giving them things that basically said, prove to me you understand this, and that's all I gave them, they realized this was way harder than what they had anticipated. And so what I am getting now is rather than a paper pencil test, they may give me some kind of movie or some kind of presentation or a Prezi. It's amazing what these kids can turn in. And it's a constant feedback cycle in which they give me something, I give them feedback, they make it better. And this test isn't like a day test. This is a multi-day, 2-3-day test.
That's awesome. And I agree. As you give kids more ownership for their learning, they actually take it. And I just observed this in the last few minutes. Now, another thing I saw was, as I was just here with the class, I saw you had a lot of kids and, you know, they were working very independently in small groups, and they had these like cup things. Now, I know about the cups, but I bet some of you in the audience have not heard about the cups. These kids had 3 cups. Explain the whole cup thing.
So the cups, it was interesting because I have a large group of kids, and you know, a lot of people say, well, you can't do this with a large group of kids, and they all wanted my attention at one time. And so I kept thinking, well, rather than them raising their hand or coming to find me across the room, let me get a signal system, something in play where I can just visually look across the room and see instantly if there is a group or an individual that needs my assistance. So
there's 3 cups. Yep. You had the red cup, and then you had the blue cup, and then the yellow cup.
Yep.
And then sometimes they were blue, and then sometimes they were yellow and red. So what's the code?
So the blue means everything's okay. They are absolutely okay. They don't need my assistance. The red is they need me right now. They cannot actually go on. And the kids know. They think red, oh, I need help. It's red. No, they know very specifically that they literally cannot move on if it's red. So very few times is actually going to be red. But the orange cup is the one that most kids will put when they have a question. But the orange cup specifically means you can get over here when you have time, but I will continue on with the work. And when you get over here, that's okay. But I will continue working until you are able to come to our group.
Listeners, let me say this. I first heard about the cup thing from Kara Johnson, an anatomy teacher in Allen, Texas. And when we wrote our books on flipped learning for the subject matters, math, science, English, social studies, we put the idea in there. And so I think I'd give her the credit for the idea since I think she's the one idea. But it was cool to see it in action, Kirk. That was really awesome.
Yeah, it really has cut the wait time down with kids needing my attention. And the other thing that the side note that really surprised me is some kids will put it on orange, and while they're waiting, rather than instantly wanting my feedback or needing help from me, I'll go over there and they'll say, oh, we already figured it out. It's okay. I went and asked so-and-so. So they're actually learning more from each other than have they just come up to me or needed my attention right off the bat.
So what I really saw was kids who were taking ownership of their learning. They were active, involved in learning, and you are actively walking around helping kids on that. So tell me more about that whole, how you're taking sort of, I mean, your role. What's the role of the teacher in this flip model as opposed to, you know, in the traditional model? What do you see as your main new role in this model?
My role is just the guide on the side. That's how I look at it, is I do not want to get in the way of their learning. That is the most important thing, is I guess my goal is for the students to get along without me. And so I only intervene when they have exhausted all of their sources. I do not want to be the first person they come to. I want to walk around. And the best thing is no one falls through the cracks in the flipped classroom. I'm not standing in the front just looking over a bunch of students, hoping that everyone's understanding it. I, every day, at least two or three times, sit with every group or every kid and have a conversation with them. And that's the biggest thing, is a lot of people think flipped is just watching the videos at home. When, in fact, the biggest thing, the most important thing, is that interaction you now have with kids. How are you going to incorporate 42 minutes or 50 minutes or an hour of class time where you can actually have conversation about academics or whatever you're talking about with kids?
Another thing I observed that I've never seen before, and I've been to a lot of flipped classrooms, so this was awesome, is the way you opened the class was unique. Tell us about what happened at the beginning of the class and what you had the kids doing from the video they watched last night.
So what I always like is I like to get a feel, kind of like some formative assessment, where I can see the kids and how they can interact with each other over the concepts they watched in the video. So I have them go to the board, and they start it. Whoever goes first, they go to the board, and they start explaining the video, the concepts from the video. And then they start calling on each other. If they make mistakes, I don't intervene. I let them catch each other's mistakes. They keep talking. It may take 5 minutes. It may take 10 minutes. But the biggest thing is I see conversation among the students going over concepts they learned from the video. So number one, they get an extra realm of instruction per se from each other. But also, it lets me know how well they really do understand the material. So it kind of gives me a really quick understanding of where they're all at. But today, a student posed a question to the class. And the student went up and he's like, well, I don't understand this. This is what I don't get. Can you explain this to me? And of course, he directed it at me. But I really didn't say much of anything. It kind of looked around. And then I let the kids take it. And so then they took it a little further. And rather than me just giving them the answer, I kind of threw it right back in their court, and they eventually got to it. And it took a few minutes, but it was one of those things where they don't need to pose the question to me, and they need to understand that they can rely on each other.
So you flipped your class. You're 4 years into the flipped classroom. What are you seeing?
I'll be honest. I am absolutely amazed of what I see. The kids, number one, I've never seen such a truer understanding of material. They can explain it to me. They can teach it to other people. And this is from 2 years in a lower income school and then 2 years where I'm at now, which is a higher income school. So, you know, higher achieving students. But I'm telling you, the results are still fantastic. The results are fantastic both ways. I am seeing scores, some of the highest MAP scores I've ever seen. I am seeing students achieve like this level of achievement that they're not just regurgitating facts and they're not just doing well because they can summarize something and just regurgitate what I teach them. And I can go 3 months later down the road and introduce this concept that they learned prior, and I don't have to reteach anything because they know it. And all the scores, all the assessments, the state tests, everything at my school I'm at now, my previous school, all the data is in the upward trend.
Yeah, and that's what we're seeing around the world. I mean, I think we need to quit arguing. Does the flipped classroom work? I've heard that. The answer is yes, it works. When done well, I've seen poor implementations of flipped classrooms. And I think we need to stop arguing about if it works. Mm-hmm. And I think the other question, maybe we'll kind of close with this. I think the question that needs to be asked now, not is if it works, but why does it work? So what do you think, you know, so we know the car is fast, but if we were to open up the hood and we looked inside, under the hood, what do you think are the biggest causal reasons that the flipped classroom works, from your perspective, Kirk?
I think the flipped classroom works when you have a teacher that utilizes that in-class time to have kids develop That collaboration and understanding of concepts. And I think it works is when you implement that and when kids are able to make connections and come up with content and understanding on their own through activities or collaboration rather than just giving a worksheet in class. I mean, remember, this is not something where the kid just goes home, watches a video and does worksheets in class. This is where they truly delve into the concepts. And when you're able to sit one-on-one with kids, kids don't have a chance to fail.
So you're saying, number one, it's the collaboration between students and with you, but also more that they're forming their own knowledge in these collaborative groups.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Absolutely. I mean, they are getting that higher level of understanding more so than I've seen any kids before, where I've taught in a traditional classroom. I mean, just to see them talk to each other and have math conversations with each other. And more importantly, they're not tired of math because these kids, this actually just happened last night. I had a wonderful email conversation back and forth with a student who I was telling him not to do math at home because they actually want – they're so involved, they want to do more. They actually are like, well, I want to do this. I'm like, well, you don't have to. You know, and that time at home now that kids are spending, you know, an hour doing just busy work or homework, they have free time. And
yeah, one thing I talked to quite a few kids and I asked them this question, how many minutes of a math homework do they have? They said, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And then actually one little boy said, yeah, but my friends in the other math class, they're spending an hour a night at homework. I said, and you guys are doing better and you're spending less time? And he said, oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess that is true.
Absolutely. You know, there comes a time where we have to reevaluate ourselves. And that's what I did a few years ago. And I never thought that I would ever say, you know, get rid of the worksheets and the homework and everything. But now that I've done it, it's amazing the results, what you can get.
So one piece of advice for a teacher who's thinking about flipping, what are you going to tell her?
Do it. Absolutely do it. Do not hold back and do not – the other thing is don't let the people tell you it's not going to work. Make it your own and just try it. I mean, you can make it your own and make it be this unbelievable experience within your classrooms in which students can achieve the levels that you never thought they could.
Listeners, I'm just amazed at what I just saw here, and we've got to replicate what we saw here at Kirk's class over and over again across the world. And I have seen it. The amazing thing, I showed him a video with Kirk from my travels in China, and the reality is what I just saw in China was mirrored here. So the amazing thing is flipped classrooms look a lot alike in China and here in the United States. So my encouragement to you is, like Kirk just said, you got to try. And that takes courage. And you just got to do it. This has been John Bergman with Kirk Humphreys. Follow me on Twitter at John Bergman. Remember, John has no H and Bergman has two N's. Or just go to johnbergman.com.
Thanks for listening to The Flip Side with John Bergman, who actually happens to be me.
This program is produced by Accretive Media for the BAM Radio Network. Thanks for listening.